G'day, AJ Mahara here, and you're listening to the Pathways to Recovery podcast. And tonight's topic is, what is complex post-traumatic stress disorder? Especially after narcissistic abuse, or abuse from somebody with borderline personality, or a psychopath, or any mixed combination comorbidity thereof. Well, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, CPTSD for short, as I'm sure many people know, is a psychological disorder that is a result of repetitive prolonged trauma involving sustained abuse by the aforementioned, usually. But there are many different types of people that abuse, toxic people, could be childhood sexual abuse, could be all kinds of, like, domestic violence, could be all kinds of abuse, which often does fit with cluster B, but not always, but often, usually, I guess, if we want to put it that way. So, there's narcissists, by the way, and sometimes people with BPD or psychopaths, and they're not the same, but in all types of relationships or abandonment, can traumatize people, whether it's in childhood and then again in adulthood, or in an adult relationship, in adulthood, with somebody with one of these personality disorders. That is enough trauma, ongoing and severe, that causes a lot of people to end up with CPTSD. Narcissists, in their grandiose entitled need to feel superior, as they delusionally believe they are, always pull for toxic power and control, and often sadistically, because the more they hurt the target, the more they hurt you. The victim of narcissistic abuse, the more supply they get, and that means they hurt those that they target and abuse to dump their shame, their negative feelings, low to no self-esteem, so it's all going to be like negative feelings in there. They got to get something back out of you that fills up that dark abyss inside that agitates them where a known self is absent. Complex post-traumatic stress disorder, CPTSD, results from enduring complex trauma that is ongoing or repeated, and often interpersonal trauma, but I will also add it could be in any type of relationship with a really emotionally abusive person or a narcissist or anybody on the cluster B, like a borderline or a psychopath, whether that is, you know, a doctor, a therapist, any profession out there, as well as any walk of life. It's because narcissists are everywhere among us, and it's a growing epidemic. So interpersonal relationship trauma, repeated and ongoing, is often the result for people, unfortunately, is that they do get CPTSD, which, by the way, I think is more substantiated in what it is, and I'm going to go through some symptoms of it in a minute, by the fact that it's not included in psychiatry's Bible of stuff called the DSM-5, because that pathologizes everything. And this isn't about pathologizing anybody's response to ongoing and repeated trauma, especially from cluster B. Narcissistic abuse in particular, I'm talking about here. The effect of ongoing trauma suffered by any person can negatively impact or change the brain. And the good news there is, the bad news is it really affects you and it hurts you. But the good news is neuroplasticity, and that can be healed as well. This type of trauma, often narcissistic abuse, also changes victims at their core level. And that can mean many different things for each, many different survivors. So it's not exactly the same for everyone, but some of the patterns, some of the issues, some of the pain, what a lot of people have been through in their childhoods, not everyone that gets CPTSD, they get it from a relationship, from being traumatized by a person with BPD untreated usually, or a narcissist or a psychopath in adulthood. The way it affects people at the core is multifaceted. And so this ongoing trauma of narcissistic abuse, for example, changes the way survivors view and perceive the world and themselves. Other people and one's sense of self may be lost partially or feel entirely lost. That's confusing, that's a lot of doubt, etc. Victims of narcissistic abuse have been targeted through gaslighting to doubt their own reality because narcissists are pathological liars. They project out onto the target or the victim what they are doing to their targeted victims, and then don't realize or don't care or have no self-awareness about the fact that they've really just done that to you. They just really don't care, even if they know. And I think a lot of times they might, and sometimes they might not. Narcissists abuse and traumatize in many ways. Like I said, gaslighting is really, really one of the most severe ways. Not only, but it is very psychologically traumatizing, as are many other things that narcissists do. Everything that they do to target, they will tell the targeted person that that is what you have just done to them, adding to the trauma of the pathological lying of a narcissist and adding to the trauma of gaslighting, which is one of the most severe forms of psychological emotional abuse that there is. So here are some of the symptoms and painful effects that people, and especially those abused by narcissists or anyone on Cluster B, can be deeply affected by. So emotional dysregulation. So that's, you know, I'm going to get on to emotional flashbacks in a minute, but flashbacks, I want to talk about that in a minute. Emotional dysregulation, intense, confused, and highly reactive emotions with a lot of pain and dissociation, feeling lost, maybe feeling shame, which is really toxic shame, not your shame, but it's hard to tell the difference when one has not yet got on the road to healing or is just barely doing that now. Often a sense of toxic guilt and feelings of helplessness, as well as lostness, and all of which, for so many abused by Cluster B, by narcissists, is actually understandable and, quote, normal, unquote, or shall we say very common in terms of the emotional and many other types of abuse that narcissists have inflicted. So it's kind of like what I'm really trying to say. Well, nothing about having been traumatized and abused by a narcissist or anyone with a Cluster B personality disorder or anyone in general is normal, but due to the circumstances of that situation, which is often ongoing for so long for so many people, that's what I mean by it's a normal human reaction then to what has been abhorrent and totally abnormal and inexcusable treatment, the traumatizing abuse. And so key and central to CPTSD as well is emotional flashbacks. And did I say too that in emotional dysregulation, I just would be remiss if I didn't include the fact that people tend to be much more damaged and traumatized in a way that they can be much more reactive to a myriad of things and people and perceptions and fears than they otherwise were before or would otherwise ever be. So now, emotional flashbacks are pretty central to CPTSD, and there are three types of them. So, visual flashbacks, where your mind is triggered and transported back to the trauma, and you feel as though, well, you are reliving it. You just don't feel like it. You are reliving it. And many people will see aspects of that as is very similar in those who, like myself, I'm a sexual abuse survivor. And in childhood sexual abuse, that those flashbacks can be very visual as well. So you can actually be seeing something, and it's not like you're living it, reliving it. It is that you are reliving it. It's a dissociative experience and very difficult and painful, to say the least. And the second type of flashbacks in CPTSD is somatic flashbacks. again, which has a lot in common with childhood sexual abuse and the flashbacks of that as well. Feeling sensations in the body, along with the discomfort of pain in areas of your body. This pain or these physical sensations can't be explained by any other health problems or physical reasons. They are triggered most often after narcissistic or cluster B abuse or other types of emotional or other types of abuse that might be multifaceted by the psychological trauma that created what I would refer to as body tracks or memories of the abuse. So there could have been physical abuse in many people's cases, but even if there was no physical abuse, so physical abuse will create its own body track, so to speak, in the very areas of the body that were traumatized by abuse physically. But even just with psychological abuse, and I don't mean to minimize it with the word just, there will be these body tracks or memories. It's the result of the psychological trauma, but also has all to do with the mind-body connection. And the third kind of emotional flashback is like really the emotional aspect of just an emotional flashback. I mean, by itself, without visual or somatic, which often somatic will accompany an emotional flashback. And it is perhaps maybe the least known and least understood aspect of CPTSD, but these emotional flashbacks are often re-experienced so often by those who've been traumatized, targeted, abused by narcissist or cluster B or anyone else, because you know it's a triggering emotionally back to the trauma. And it can feel or appear like the narcissist abuse survivor is being irrationally emotional when that's not what is happening at all. It's a re-enlivened emotional response of the trauma that you are, in an emotional way, reliving and flashing back to, which usually can have a highly, until people get into a healing and recovery journey, has a highly subconscious, comes from a highly subconscious place before people learn what this really is and how to recognize it, how to cope with it, and in fact, how to heal it. So where was I here? I'm just thinking. So it appears like a narcissistic abuse victim or survivor is being irrationally emotional. You're not. Don't ever think that. You're not. And if you're wondering why you're reacting so intensely and strongly emotionally, you're likely having an emotional flashback. And I'll just add, for those of you who, like myself, may have been also narcissistically abused in your childhood, like from the get-go, then if you have an emotional flashback from, say, an abusive narcissist, relationship with an abusive narcissist in your adulthood, there can also be flashbacks, flashbacks from that and CPTSD from that. So the emotional flashbacks of that can also then trigger back sort of a double whammy or a duality type of trigger to something that's unresolved from childhood narcissistic abuse or any other type of abuse that the narcissist might have. Wide area of different types of abuse that many different people go through when the narcissist is mother or father, so to speak, if we can really call them that. Emotional flashbacks intrude into your here and now experience, and they are the re-experiencing of the traumatic narcissistic abuse that you suffered, or from a person with BPD or a psychopath or whomever. But it is a re-experiencing that is of a dissociative nature in the here and now. But, of course, it's something that it's in the limbic system where there's a loop. And it loops in your brain because your brain has been affected. And it loops in your brain. Really what the brain looping about in the emotional centers of the brain is an attempt to protect you from the trauma that you've already suffered and that you're reliving. Dissociation, of course, is a big part of CPTSD, these flashbacks, the three types I just mentioned. And dissociation is about protection. And also dissociation occurs to people as, again, a common occurrence with this kind of trauma, because it's really about protecting you from the full-on aspects of the pain. And it's kind of like a natural, not that it really anesthetizes your pain, but it's a natural way of sort of, it's a coping mechanism with, especially with trauma. Hypervigilance is another key component of CPTSD. Not feeling safe, consciously or subconsciously. So whether you're aware of that or not, is not feeling safe. A feeling of being wrong or worried about being hurt or abused or yelled at, or all the ways in which you've been traumatized, you're worried that's about to happen again, even after you're away from the abuser. Waiting for the other shoe to drop is a feeling, is a way that a lot of people would describe that, in the ways that the narcissist has abused you or did abuse you. It is common that people will be scanning the environment that they're in, even if you're away from the narcissist, looking for signs of anyone being angry or in any way about to cause or act in any manner that would remind one and trigger one back to the traumatic abuse of the narcissist or the borderline or the psychopath who abused you. Hyperarousal, a flight, fight, or freeze in the emotional center of the brain, is also very key here and central to CPTSD. Because the brain has also been traumatized, but the brain is trying to protect against the psychological trauma, like I said, in the limbic system with this looping mechanism that actually enhances your hyper arousal, a flight, fight, freeze, whichever one or some combination thereof, because it's actually trying to protect you from what has already occurred, but what you're now reliving in flashbacks. And helplessness and toxic shame are other symptoms of CPTSD and challenges. The internalization of the abuse and constant criticism, gaslighting, pathological lying, just to give a few examples, is what creates, the abuse, the trauma itself creates helplessness, a feeling of helplessness, because so many people are so trapped in so many very different ways by these abusers. And then, of course, there's the internalization of all their criticism and all their raging or yelling or however it was that they abused you, but they let you know in a projective way that you were apparently supposedly doing to them what they were doing to you. So it gets all confusing and it's very painful. And so people often then have feelings of helplessness and shame, but the shame is toxic shame, because the shame is the narcissist. Shame belongs to the narcissist, but it's internalized by those who are victimized by narcissists, traumatized by narcissists. Also, people after this kind of trauma and having CPTSD have a deep fear of trust, an inability to trust themselves and others. Ongoing trauma wires the brain for fear and distrust. Again, it's limbic system looping in an attempt to actually help you, but it doesn't. It contributes to the flashbacks, which then, of course, you're reliving the trauma. And so, and muscle armoring, many complex narcissistic abuse survivors who have CPTSD, and you've experienced ongoing abuse or repeated abuse, develop a body hypervigilance. So this muscle armoring is about body hypervigilance, as opposed to the psychological hypervigilance that can still, and for a while for people, be coming from a very subconscious place. So this is where the body, so muscle armoring is where the body is continually tensed as the body is bracing for potential trauma. So this leads to pain issues for people in their muscles being overworked, too tight, chronic pain, and other issues related to that, such as chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia, can also result in many cases, not all, but many. Massage, guided muscle relaxation, and other ways to manage this can help, as well as deep breathing and relaxing. And of course, people have to work at not reacting in a very hypervigilant flight-fight way or freeze way to the very pain that is the that is muscle armoring, the very pain that is in the body as muscles tense in certain areas of your body, as your body is re-experiencing effects of the trauma, whether that was physical trauma or psychological trauma. All of these issues are very normal for CPTSD. Enduring CPTSD trauma or enduring complex trauma is not a normal life experience. So the consequences it creates are different, yet very normal for what they have, for those of you who have experienced this and endured this trauma. And so it is the nature and the way of that narcissistic cluster Bs especially abuse in an ongoing or repeated way that survivors can develop a sense of, like I said before, hopelessness, that nothing will ever be okay, or that they're not okay and they're not ever going to be okay again. They can also feel profoundly damaged. Often people see no hope for anything to get better. When faced with long periods of abuse, it does feel like there is no hope of anything changing. And even when the abuse or trauma stops, you get away from that person, the survivor can continue to have these deep core level beliefs of hopelessness, among many other what may have been developed negative core beliefs about yourself, or what may also have just been worsened if you had negative core beliefs from your childhood that were unresolved as well. But it also leaves people feeling like they just want to hide, they don't want to be seen, they don't want to be heard or visible. A lot of people shrink away because it's the amount of pain with this is incredible. And I know because I'm a survivor of CPTSD and narcissistic abuse, and I've done substantial recovery and healing in that. And of course, nothing is 100%, but I've come through it. And that's the good news and important for people to know. And you can come through it too. And people feel hopelessly lost, and some people feel suicidal. And unfortunately, some people will take their own lives after this very traumatizing abuse. And also for CPTSD and narcissistic abuse survivors with CPTSD, there's a longing for the person that narcissistic abuse survivor, that the narcissistic abuse survivor story, for who you thought that person was when you first met them. And in fact, because you loved them. And of course, they know nothing about love. And for many people, they didn't know this at all going in, or even if some people had some sense of this, they've been through it in their life before or as a child, it was not consciously known to you at the time. And so, you know, what their love bombing is all about, what I call bait bombing, really, because there's no love to it. So the point is, there's a lot of longing, which has a psychological and a neurological basis, or neurophysiological basis to it. So it's very, very painful. And so often, too, people with CPTSD, especially in the beginning, will be searching for a rescuer, subconsciously, of course, searching for a rescuer, someone to rescue them now, as many abuse survivors needed and longed for during the ongoing trauma. This is as true if you were narcissistically abused as a child or in any other fashion abused as a child, and it's not totally resolved, or you might not remember it, depending on the type of abuse it was. And also, even for people who were abused this traumatic way by narcissist or cluster B in adulthood, who weren't narcissistically abused as children, there's still this really powerful subconscious need or want or search, unknowing to most people, for a rescuer. And what's really key about knowing that is that these feelings, this need, the subconsciously expressed reality of need in many narcissistic abuse survivors will continue to be re-experienced after the trauma has ceased. This often leads to narcissistic abuse survivors ending up with another narcissistic abuser or another person with BPD or another psychopath or comorbidity, some combination, and then being re-traumatized all over again, which is really sad, but it does happen to a significant number of people. So that's just my sort of quick, I guess not so quick, but I tried to be quick, rundown of a little bit about what CPTSD is, and for narcissistic abuse survivors or cluster B abuse survivors. And I'll be talking much more about this, but those are just some of the major symptoms. They're not necessarily all. And I think that each individual with a core set of symptoms after narcissistic or cluster B abuse who has CPTSD can have a variance of different kind of symptoms. And some people will experience some more than others. But so it's highly individual in that way. And that's why when I work with people who've been narcissistically abused or abused by anybody like borderline or a psychopath as well, that I tailor that process to each individual, because each individual has their own way of processing the trauma and grieving and working through all the moving pieces of what CPTSD recovery is really all about, as well as addressing the reality of having been duped, the self-trust and self-doubt issues, destroyed self-esteem and destroyed self-worth, toxic shame, etc., which is not an easy process to go through, but it is one that is well worth it, and it is painful. But I always start with my clients, first of all, and let's get to doing some work and building some skills for you, so that when you encounter the pain that you have to process and that you might be reliving right now, regardless, so that when you encounter it again, and as many people will over and over again for a time, that you have coping strategies and skills and mechanisms so that it's not going to be re-traumatizing. And of course, people have a lot of anxiety. There's, like I said, there's a wide variety of other symptoms that come into play. And I just wanted to sort of give a bit of an overview of this that I hoped wouldn't go on this long. But anyway, so that's what happens, unfortunately, to narcissistic abuse survivors. First narcissistic abuse victims, who then become survivors, who will develop, not all, but many, who will develop complex post-traumatic stress disorder. So that was a little bit about what that really is and what happens to people. And if you're somebody who's brand new to this and you're experiencing some of these symptoms or other symptoms, increased anxiety and or really major depression as well as a lot of these other symptoms, it's not an easy thing to say, but please do know that it's not always going to feel this bad, it's not always going to be this painful, it's not always going to be this hard. And if you can't see the forest for the trees right, or the tree for the forest right now, I'll put it, or if you can't see the light in the lostness of dark, and the way that you're feeling so much pain right now, and so confused, and of course people make so many efforts to understand what happened to them by trying to understand the narcissist, which to a point helps, but beyond a certain point, I think, starts to hinder. So anyway, I just like to say that you could check out my website if you're interested. I'm going to have a lot more out about these different things soon, and do some more blogging. But if you're interested in sessions or a session with me, ajmahari.ca/contact, or you can purchase a session on that website, and or phoenixrisingpublications.com. And I have another new site. I still need to do a lot of work, and there'll be more blogs up, ajmaharitlc.com. And of course, this podcast will also have its own home, but I'm not sure what the domain will be right at this point, as this is the first podcast of the Pathways to Healing podcast. And I will have information under the description box if I share this on YouTube, and I will be getting this information up on a couple of my key websites. And I hope that that was helpful. And so wherever you are today and in this process, wherever, if you're just awakening to this, if you're just realizing that you're with a borderline or a narcissist or a psychopath, someone that's really been abusing you, be kind and gentle to yourself today, and just know that no matter how much it hurts, and by God, can it ever hurt in a way that only each individual can describe their own pain, it's going to get better, and you can do this. You can go from being a victim, and you were targeted. You were a targeted victim. You didn't ask for this. You can go from that place to getting on the road to healing and recovery, which does take time and isn't exactly simple, but it's well worth it. And you will be able to find yourself again, or maybe for some people, find more of yourself or find yourself for the first time. And so whatever the case may be, just know there's all the hope in the world. And for many people who already know about this topic, if you've been listening, I just hope it was a good reminder. If you're going through some things still, even if you're well into your recovery process, that, you know, the more informed you are about what you're going through, the more it won't be as scary. But unfortunately, it takes time for the pain to be processed and the trauma to be processed. So take really good care of yourself today. And if you are awakening to the fact that you might be with an untreated person with BPD, a narcissist or a psychopath, then, you know that the first thing you really need to do, which is really difficult for people, is you need to get away from that abuser so that you can start to get your bearings again and understand how and what you need to do to move forward and to heal. And there's all the grief of having loved somebody that you could not have imagined was who they actually turned out not to be. Because in the case of narcissists, they just really aren't anybody. And so they will put on air and image and be, you know, grandiose in the overt way, or whether they're covert or overt, it's all smoke and mirrors. And, of course, if you'd have known that, you know, unfortunately, so many people still don't understand narcissistic abuse until and unless they've really, unfortunately, had to have the horrifically traumatizing experience of having gone through it. So take the best care of yourself you can now. And I hope that you'll check out my podcast as well, because I'll be putting up some episodes on YouTube, but not all. So I'll be connected on iTunes and a few other places. So anyway, take care. And I hope that was helpful.